My guest in the studio tonight, she's a Sydney-based trumpeter and composer. She was born in Port Macquarie but studied at the Sydney Conservatorium of Music under the artists of the calibre of Warwick Alder, Mike Nock and Judy Bailey. She won the 2012 Jan Rutherford Memorial Award for Young Women in Jazz and leads her own ensemble, Captain Kirkwood, and is the director of the Young Women's Jazz Orchestra. She's a member of the Sirens Big Band, for which she's just composed a large-scale work entitled A Part. Ellen Kirkwood, welcome to Now's the Time.
Thanks for having me, Frank.
Tell us how you became interested in playing the trumpet and jazz more broadly. You grew up in Port Macquarie, I mentioned.
Yeah. So I lived in Port Macquarie, a town near Port Macquarie called Laurieton, until I was 11. The way that I got into playing the trumpet, I actually played piano first from when I was 5. And when I was about 9, my uncle said, "Oh, hey, do you want to have a go at my trumpet?" And I sort of thought, "Oh, yeah, sounds cool." And picked it up pretty quickly because I already knew how to read music and everything and enjoyed being in the bands at school and stuff. As for getting into jazz, that happened a fair bit later, actually. I was in bands a lot throughout primary and high school. In high school, I joined the stage band in year 7, and it was like, oh, this is a bit different and interesting, and sort of had a little bit of a go at improvising, but was still mainly doing more sort of classical stuff at that point. And then in the last few years of high school, I started to really get into it more, and eventually, it became my thing. And at the end of high school, I did the Young Women's Jazz Workshops, which sort of taught me a lot and helped me then to successfully audition for the jazz course at the Sydney Conservatorium.
And was this around the early 2000s?
Yeah. So, I started the jazz course in 2004.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who were your early trumpet influences then?
Wynton Marsalis is probably one that sticks out. Phil Slater. Who else? I guess I started, when I started listening to jazz, Freddie Hubbard and Miles Davis and Clifford Brown and that kind of thing. So that's probably where it started.
Those classic trumpet sounds,
yeah,
of the 50s and 60s. You, as I mentioned at the top, you won the Jan Rutherford Memorial Award back in 2012.
Mm-hmm.
Can you describe the impact of winning that award had and how that has shaped your career since?
Yeah, so the recording that you just played was from the album that was funded by the Jan Rutherford Memorial Award. The award is given out every year to a young female jazz musician in Australia who, is showing promise, and it's just sort of a way to sort of boost her in the start of her jazz career and also to sort of help get a bit more of a balance in the gender disparity in the jazz community, because there are a lot more guys out there, so it's sort of also trying to sort of boost someone's career so that they may make it to the point where they can be a bit more prominent and maybe be a role model to younger women.
Well, just on that, I mean, you've been a long-term member of the Sirens Big Band, which, mm-hmm, if people aren't aware, is a an all-female big band.
It's not anymore, actually.
Not anymore.
It's mostly, but we do have a transgender member, and for this gig on the weekend, we also have a couple of guests, a couple of other guys playing with us, but it is still predominantly female, yeah.
Right, and that was the original scope of
Yes. Yep.
You've composed major works for this particular performance, but you've got the likes of Andrea Keller performing with you,
yes,
and Sandy Evans and Gian Slater.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
right. How significant do you think this particular performance is in terms of furthering the cause of women in jazz in Australia?
Oh,
I mean, this is it's not often we see a performance that's predominantly female.
Yes, that's true. That is true. I hope it's sort of something that, it has a bit of longevity and people go like, oh, yeah, that was a really great thing that happened back in 2017 when Sirens did that thing. Yeah, I hope so. I hope it sort of is one of many things that is sort of shifting people's perspective on jazz in a broad sense and, what jazz looks like, I suppose, not just a bunch of guys. Sometimes it can be women, sometimes it can be both, hopefully.
Yeah, well, you, as I mentioned, those three guests really represent three of the biggest female names in jazz.
Yeah,
three of the biggest names in jazz.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. They're three of my favourite musicians in the country, and I'm completely stoked that they'll be playing my music.
And there's been some improvement in the intake of female students in the Con Jazz course over the last recent time.
Yeah, yeah, it has gone up. When I was there, I was one of three in the entire course of about 60. I think now it's almost a quarter. So it's, you know, it's improving.
Would it be fair to attribute some of that improvement to the effect and the impact of the Sirens Big Band?
Possibly. There have been a few members who in the band decided to do the jazz course. Some of them, many of us are actually graduates of the Con Jazz course. I would also say, I mentioned before the Young Women's Jazz Workshops. They've been going since 2002, and there are a lot of young women who went through the Con who went through those workshops first.
I suppose we all know that jazz is a very masculine art form. I mean, it always has been. Sandy Evans told me that herself many, many years ago. But have you ever experienced anything other than equality on the stage, Ellen?
Look, I consider myself fairly fortunate. I know there are lots of people who have had, you know, comments that a bit sexist or just a little bit sort of inappropriate, or some that have been, you know, well-meaning, like, oh, you sound great for a woman. Or like, oh, someone once said to me, like, oh, if I shut my eyes, I could swear it was a man playing the trumpet. I'm like, is that, what do you mean by that? Like, can't my music just sound like music? I just want to sound like an individual musician.
yeah, there's really no gender to the sounds.
Exactly.
As I mentioned, you've composed this major work, and if I'm correct, the themes around this major work are centred around climate change and the global refugee problem and the prevalence of the internet more broadly, mm-hmm. on a global scale. Can you elaborate on what feelings you're trying to portray about those issues through the music?
Mm-hmm. Well, okay, I'm not out there to sort of preach and convert people or to sort of sway anybody politically. It's mainly, I feel like these days we are just sort of, we're so inundated with information from so many places, largely the internet, which is, you know, partly what this is about, that maybe sort of having that subject content expressed in a different way, because it's basically, I'm writing from a place of my own emotions, and in the music, it's not, I'm basically trying to tap into some of my own experiences to try and, you know, for instance, there's one of the sections which is about the refugee crisis. I'm basically drawing on my feelings of anxiety and overwhelming last year when I moved my house. Like, that's nothing compared to what refugees go through. So I sort of was like, okay, if this is how bad I feel, if I can exaggerate these feelings of mine, maybe I can get to something that maybe resembles emotionally what they feel like. But at the same time, I am also, you know, if people listen to that and they hear something completely different, but and it means something to them, I'm still happy about that, because I don't want people to sort of hear my music and go like, oh, that reminded me of a dark and stormy night, and now you're telling me it was about refugees. Like, oh, am I wrong? Like, I don't want people to feel like they're wrong to judge it in whatever way. So I also just hope that it means something to people, even if it's not necessarily what it means to me.
So in that respect, will you be prefacing each song with an explanation as
no,
to where it comes
no.
from?
No. Broadly, yes, there's the explanation that, you know, some of these subjects, but no, we'll just sort of play the whole thing through, and maybe people, there'll also be visuals going with it, and they're quite abstract, so they will sort of hint at the subject matter, but in a very broad way, so that people can still sort of draw their own conclusions and interpret it in their own ways. Because again, I think art, like, it's an expression of something from within my mind and my emotions and my reactions to these things, but I don't want to enforce that upon other people, but I want them to hopefully take something of their own away from it.
And those visuals are going to be presented by the creative artist Cleo Mees, is
yes,
that right?
Yes, that's right, yep.
Yes, it's an interesting concept, and it's one that's becoming a little more prevalent. I first came across that type of concept back in, I think it must have been about 1998, I think, in Italy at the Umbria Jazz Festival Ornette Coleman.
Oh, yeah.
And it was quite a... I think at the time he even had some dancers as well. Sometimes I felt it was a little bit of a distraction to the to the sound.
Yeah, that is a danger. We've tried to make it fairly minimal, so it's kind of like it's mood enhancing and it makes it a little bit more immersive, but it's not, you know, too busy or distracting. It's not like documentary footage. It's more like just sort of slowly moving images. Yeah, that kind of thing.
Yeah, most recently I think Jack DeJohnette did a similar thing with footage of Jack Johnson.
Oh yeah.
The boxer.
Ah, yeah, you know, that rings a bell, actually.
Balkanator, is that right?
Balkanator.
Balkanator.
Like the Balkans.
Right, okay. Well, look, tell us a little bit about that.
Okay, so this is from our album that we released in 2013, entitled Carly in the Time of Change. This tune, I really like sort of mixing up styles. This tune has a bit of, Balkan gypsy sort of vibe. There's a bit of polka in there. There's a bit of, you know, there's some sort of florid tunes, and it's also kind of got a bit of a New Orleans vibe to it, and in one spot it's a little bit hip-hop, so it's kind of, it's just a fun ride, basically.
What's next on the horizon for you before we leave you?
Well, this thing's just looming large. I need a little break. But as for projects after that, who knows? I'll probably do something a little bit smaller. But, you know, I can't see myself stopping composing and playing anytime soon. But, yeah, I might sort of relax for a little bit before I go on with the next big project. But hopefully this one, you know, has a bit of life in it. I'd like to record it and tour it a little bit. Thanks very much, Frank. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Ellen.